Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere else that you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends to subscribe, and check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls, and if you want to advertise with us or have questions you want us to answer on the show, make sure you email us at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. I'm Sean Hyten, with me as always, Cody Westerlund. Cody, just another, you know, under-the-radar day for the Bulls. Rebuilding team, not a whole lot of drama, anything like that.
Just the fallout of a boxing match in practice on Tuesday. A one-punch knockout from Bobby Portis that landed upon the face of Niko Mirotić in one of the uglier Bulls incidents in franchise history.
At least since John Paxson allegedly choked out Vinny Del Negro.
This is a franchise that is no stranger to punches being thrown in practice, but it used to happen in the 1990s when they were winning six titles and Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player of all time, was hitting Steve Kerr or Will Perdue or someone else.
This goes a little bit beyond Rajon Rondo's Instagram post last year. That was last year's big drama.
Yeah, and it was interesting because I made the point the preseason ended and we were talking about what are the storylines we write about, because there's just not a lot of headlining names here. And I made the point, like, the Bulls have done a really good job in training camp of not having any self-inflicted wounds, any self-inflicted drama, anything that sets the team back. It was focused on basketball. Tuesday at practice was not focused on basketball. For the details of the incident, Niko and Bobby were going at it up and down the floor several times on various possessions. Obviously, they're both power forwards. Niko's won that starting job. For the past 2 years, he's usually been ahead of Bobby Portis on the depth chart for starting at power forward. Bobby's an emotional guy, a passionate guy. Assistant coach Randy Brown stepped in, said, chill out, let's go, let's keep playing. Tried to defuse the situation. Shortly thereafter, the situation was not defused, and Bobby Portis socked Niko Mirotić in the face. It was not a sucker punch, according to John Paxson. Both guys had been aggressive. Both guys played basically an instigator role.
Right.
And they made clear that after that happened, and there's culpability on both sides there, that Bobby Portis obviously was the one who crossed the line. And inexcusable was the word the Bulls used. Bobby Portis out 8 games, the first 8 games of the regular season for this. He has the right to appeal, I believe. That's unclear if he will. I don't think he probably will. But just what's your reaction, Sean?
I mean, this is a huge... I mean, this is just like... I mean, nobody really comes out of this looking good.
It's awful.
It's not good for anybody. Obviously, you know, yes, Bobby Portis deserves to be suspended. He probably should have been suspended more than 8 games for breaking his teammate's face and putting him in the hospital for 4 to 6 weeks. And we'll get to Niko, you know, where that comes from. So, you know, from him, this isn't a good look. And everybody made clear, you know, nobody thinks Bobby's a bad guy here. He's a nice kid who made a mistake. He works hard. He's passionate. You know, he did something he shouldn't have done. Nobody thinks this reflects on him long term. But he deserved to be suspended for doing that.
Yeah.
Like, and then, you know, there's always going to be the questions of, okay, should the coaching staff have stepped in? Should they have been a little bit more forceful and maybe trying to defuse this before it got to this level? Because, like, you know, stuff happens in practice between these teams when things get competitive, but you never really hear about guys landing punches like this. So that, you know, that's not great from their standpoint. And then just from the organization's standpoint, like, they've put this culture in place, and they keep talking about how great this new culture is with these new guys. They've been in the gym all summer, hard working hard and getting this rebuild off on the right track. But the culture around this team has just been so toxic for a long time, and this is just like another symptom of that.
Yeah, and I'm not buying into could the coaching staff have done more. Did they have these guys under control? It's a fair question, but because of I take Robin Lopez, I think, at his word when he said no one saw this coming, no one could have expected this. Like, it felt like a normal, intense practice scuffle or scrum that you then move forward from. And I don't know what... I mean, these are... Bobby Portis is 22, but look, he's an adult.
Yeah.
These are grown men. They're adults. And you can't punch people. Completely inexcusable, as the Bulls said. And I guess the question is, how much of this was heat of the moment, Bobby Portis's emotions and passion getting the best of him, and how much of it was underlying? Because there were reports immediately that this is something that had been simmering. You know what I mean? And Fred Hoiberg played it off as, well, they're just two competitive guys, and certainly they've been going at each other hard for the past couple of years. Now, he's probably not in a position or a standing where he wants to acknowledge that, yes, these guys hate each other, so he has to cover it up with the competitiveness part. But as a coaching staff, I don't think you ever go into practice thinking, oh, yeah, these guys are going to punch each other. We have to stop it before it happens. Because, I mean, this hasn't happened in a long time at Bulls practice. This, and again, this does not happen across the NBA. I know there have been punches thrown, like I said, in Bulls practice in the 90s. It's not unprecedented. I know there have been punches thrown in the NBA. Last year, Robin Lopez and Serge Ibaka were the two that threw punches in the Bulls-Raptors game, and I think was one of the very few incidents in the past probably 5 years in the NBA in which any punch was thrown. So it's not unprecedented, but it is very, very rare. So your natural inclination as a coaching staff is to not think it's actually going to get to that point. And they did say Randy Brown stepped in. It's worth noting, pretty much every practice in the NBA is taped, so the Bulls went back and were able to see that. And they also made clear that the reason Bobby was suspended basically for 8 games is because of the extent of Nico's injury that will keep him out 4 to 6 weeks in that regard. So that makes me think that the Bulls viewed this as a heat of the moment thing in which the punishment needed to be more than a few games because of how long Nico was out. If Bobby, but by saying that, if Bobby had like had this pure hatred of Nico and they were both acting, or one of them was acting unprofessionally for weeks, I think in that sense, the Bulls probably wouldn't have said, hey, Bobby's out so long because he knocked Nico out for so long. They would say, this was something that had been simmering, you know? Like, saying that to me just kind of hinted at the Bulls thought the moment got the best of Bobby Portis. And like you said, they think he's a good guy and that he made a mistake here. Is that the read that you get at all?
I think it's somewhere in the middle in terms of whether this was brewing or whether this was a spur of the moment thing. Are Bobby and Nico best friends? No, I don't think they are. But
I don't think they ever hang out together.
No.
I have never heard, seen, or gotten any word of that.
No, but and they play the same position. They're fighting for the same minutes. Bobby, you know, in his 3 years in the NBA now, this is going in his third year. Nico's going into his fourth year. Both of these guys have kind of had these, you know, frustrations with their roles. Nico obviously has been benched a bunch of times. He had this contract thing that didn't get resolved until the end of the offseason. He's had struggled with confidence. He finally gets the starting role, basically given to him by Hoiberg during training camp, and this time it's actually sort of on merit. Bobby, you know, made clear at the beginning of training camp that he wants to be the starter. You know, and you know, considering, you know, he was a first-round pick, he came in with a lot of expectations. It's his goal to start. He wants those minutes. He wants to have a bigger role. And he hasn't been getting it. Like, he's gotten some opportunities, and he hasn't really produced. And, you know, I can see how just kind of his frustrations boil over, and he might have just been annoyed that Nico is going to be the starter opening night, and then, you know, they were going at each other, and Bobby was just like, okay, I don't want to deal with this today. Like, that's probably what happened. Yeah, like, I don't think it was like, these two guys have a very personal hatred for each other, and this was brewing, but it's also not just completely from nothing.
Yeah, it's worth noting that when Bobby was a rookie, he said Kevin Garnett was kind of one of his NBA role models, just in the way he carried himself on the basketball court. And to my knowledge, I don't think KG, he never punched anyone at any point ever in the NBA that I can think of off the top of my head. Can you, Sean?
No.
Okay, obviously, like, this isn't reflecting on KG being a bad guy, but I mean, he was regarded as one of the most intense competitors. His fire burned hotter than probably any other player in the NBA when KG was playing. So, like, that is kind of just some context for Bobby's approach to the game. And I want to ask you, and I'll chime in here too, do you think 8 games was fair? When I look at this, I think from the time that Bobby landed the punch on Nico, I think the Bulls have handled this pretty well.
Yeah.
They immediately had John Paxson, trotted him out first. He said the 8-game suspension, he called it inexcusable, he gave a little background, and he said, we'll support both players and this isn't something we accept, we're upset by it, basically. Fred Hoiberg, you know, this is one of those where Fred wanted no part that time that Jimmy called him out for saying he needed to coach harder, and then last year with the Rondo Instagram and Jimmy and D-Wade criticism of younger players. Right. Fred wants no part of that. So this is not a situation in which Fred's really comfortable. You know what I mean? He wants to talk basketball. He doesn't like this off-court drama and having to basically babysit and dole out punishment to adults. You know, that's not what he signed up for. He doesn't like that. I thought he handled it pretty well. Like, we tried to ask him a question. He's like, no, before you guys talk, here's my statement. And I don't like this. Inexcusable. Couldn't have seen it coming. We're not standing by any type of action like this. So, like, I just, like, in a way, I guess I'm crediting them for not fumbling this. You know what I mean? But the way they did it, like, I thought 8 games was good by the Bulls. Because when it initially came out, I was thinking, we were talking and stuff, like, 3, 4, 5 games, something like that, was, like, in my head, conceivable in that regard. Because remember when Lopez threw the punch last year, I mean, that was intentions with knocking Serge Ibaka's face to another planet. And he got 1 game from the NBA. And I know that's completely different, defending your team versus hurting another teammate. Completely different. But the punch aspect was still there, like, the hatred behind the punch. You know what I mean? So, like, I thought it could have been a lower end. If they wanted to suspend him 10 or 12 games, I would have been fine. But, like, to me, eight's good. You know what I mean? So, I actually think, as bad as it was from the point in which it happened, I thought the Bulls so far have handled it well.
I was okay with the punishment, too. I mean, you think that, the thing is, there's, like, no real precedent for this in recent history. Because, you know, like we said, I can't remember the last time a player punched his teammate.
Yeah, usually, and it's like a black eye or
right,
something.
It's important to point out, by the way, that, they did have a conference call with the league where they kind of talked about what to do. But the decision on how many games to suspend him was made by the team and not by the NBA. So this was done by the Bulls. And I feel like the majority of the punishment is because of the, and Paxson said this, because the punch landed and because of how long Nico was going to be out because of the damage from that. I don't think, I think from what, what Pax said, what Hoiberg said, what Robin Lopez said, he was the only player that talked today at practice. It seems like both Nico and Bobby were instigating. They both were sort of at fault for the situation escalating to where it did. So it's not like, if this were really like a sucker punch or a cheap shot, like was initially reported by some outlets, I think Bobby might have gotten more games than he did. But I think between it being, there being fault on both sides for the situation escalating, but at the same time, Bobby did throw and land the punch and put Nico out of commission for a while, I was fine with the amount of games that he got.
Yeah, we need to talk about the long-term ramifications for both players and the organization here. So let's start with Nico, out 4 to 6 weeks. He has a concussion in addition to the 2 broken bones in his face. He's hurting, not really doing well, as Fred Hoiberg said. Uh-huh. Not like just the whole situation weighing on him. It sounds like he's pretty devastated, obviously. And before they can address the facial fractures and whether surgery is needed, and surgery is likely, his concussion symptoms have to go away. And judging by what we've heard from the punch and just understanding concussions more, being in the sports landscape and in various sports now, like, it could be several weeks before the concussion symptoms even subside enough to address the facial fractures and have surgery.
Right. Now, so I think the 4 to 6 weeks is probably on the low end.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to
say.
Because my understanding is, like, the 4 to 6 weeks is just in a vacuum how long it would take for him to recover from the surgery. You know, if they can't even do the surgery until he's free of concussion symptoms, it might be like a week or two before he passes the concussion protocol, and then that 4 to 6 week clock starts when they address the facial fracture.
Yeah, and that decision on the surgery will be, Nico's camp gets to decide, basically, he and his representation after consulting the Bulls doctors, but that's a decision that's left up to him. I will say this, another gut punch for Nico that is inflicted by someone in or affiliated with the organization that he had no doing over. You know, he had that appendectomy late January 2016, and it should have been a smooth, normal appendectomy. The Bulls released a statement afterwards that said it went as expected. It did not go as expected. There was apparently a bleeder, and they had to go in for a hematoma removal, and that ended up costing him 20 pounds. That set him back another month, maybe more at least. Mentally, it set him back. He struggled just to regain his confidence in his body, his basketball playing form when he loses 20 pounds, like trying to reassimilate into Bulls basketball and trying to put on weight at the same time. And it just, that second season of his was stunted because of a doctor's error, basically. And now Nico embracing, when you look at it through his prism, he's embracing the competitive nature that they're setting in training camp and really battling and put on more than 20 pounds, most of it muscle, to bulk up to 260 pounds so he could bang inside. And they're preaching this in practice, so he's banging. And he's too aggressive, and Bobby's too aggressive. And he's thinking it's just going to be some bumps and bruises. And then all of a sudden, he gets absolutely socked in the face. You know what I mean? Like, another setback that isn't his fault. And you're just like, of course the doctors didn't intend to set him back. Of course there was no malicious intent from the doctors. There was malicious intent from Bobby Portis in that moment. But in a big picture, no one would want that. But, like, he's not catching any breaks from this organization either.
No, he's not. And especially, like, you know, he got this contract, so now there's all these expectations that he's going to finally be the consistent guy that they kind of hoped he was, that he hadn't been these last three seasons that he's been in Chicago. You know, he gets the starting spot. For the first time, he actually earns it. It isn't just given it. And so people, you know, we're thinking, okay, you know, rebuilding team, not a lot of expectations. This could be finally where he has his breakout year, and he this is maybe the year that he, you know, to quote the most
become
cliche,
consistent,
puts it all together, to quote, like, the most cliche, you know, sports phrase of all time. But, like, and now, no, he comes back. He's going to be out of shape once he's back because he won't be able to do contact for a while once he has the surgery. He's going to be out of shape.
Probably has to wear a mask, not for certain, but it's the realm of possibility, and he's a shooter.
And
he's
And who knows if that's going to mess with his shooting. You know it's going to mess with his confidence. He's a guy that struggled with confidence in the past. This could not have gone worse for him.
No, this punch could, effectively derail Nico's entire season. I do not think this punch should derail the Bulls season. Fred Hoiberg said, it's my job to make sure it doesn't. I do think it puts him in a terrible position to start the season. Lauri Markkanen will start in the opener on Thursday night in Toronto in place of Nico Mirotic. But as Fred Hoiberg pointed out, they're going to play 10% of their season severely shorthanded. They have 17 players on the roster when you count the two two-way players. Five of those were big men. One of those big men is now hurt, the other suspended for hurting him. That's three big men. You know what I mean? And already Zach LaVine is out into at least December. Chris Dunn out at least several more weeks, it sounds like. This is a really shorthanded team. I don't care if the Bulls season gets derailed by way of wins and losses and they stockpile more losses. That's what they want anyway. You know what I mean? But Nico, like, ask Derrick Rose. Shooting with a mask is really hard. You know? Like, if this comes... like we said, 4 to 6 weeks. I feel like this is more 6 to 8 weeks. You know what I mean? And then it takes him 2 weeks to find his form, and he's wearing a mask for four. We're already looking at 2.5-3 months into this almost. You know what I mean? Like, that's half the season. That's like 40-50 games of Nico just trying to figure it out before he can get back to, like, what do you call it? Back to neutral, you know? Back to zero when he feels good. I just feel awful for him.
You feel awful for him. And then also, you know, beyond that, this sets them back because just being without two of their power forwards for such a long time, like, this is, you know, this is going to kind of mess with other guys' development because, you know, they had been talking about, like, they really want to get Markkanen more reps at the four and the five. Now he's going to have to play most of the four because he's the only power forward on the roster. Zipser is going to have to play out of position and play some four now because they just don't have the bodies because Markkanen is not going to be able to play 48 minutes as a rookie. So, like, this is just not good. Like, they were talking about Quincy Pondexter, who's been hurt himself. They're talking about him maybe sliding over to the four now because they have to fill those minutes with somebody. And, I mean, they'll be able to play Bobby again once he's back from the suspension, which will be a lot sooner than Nico's back. But this is just not good for anybody.
Let's look at the long-term effects for Bobby Portis. He is entering his third year. He showed promise as a rookie, I think it's fair to say.
Stagnated last year.
Yep, stagnated is a good word there from you. As a sophomore for him. So this is a pivotal year. He was a first-round draft pick in 2015, so the Bulls hold an option, his fourth-year option, on his rookie contract. They can pick that up or decline it before Halloween, October 31st. It's almost always a formality, a foregone conclusion, that you pick up your first-round draft picks options for a fourth year. I expect that they will, but it's worth noting that they haven't yet, and now they have this incident to consider. Past that contract, mumbo-jumbo there, how does this affect the long-term outlook for Bobby Portis with the Bulls? You look at it, and here's a guy in front of Portis in the playing rotation that he just punched. They draft Lauri Markkanen, number 7 overall, as a foundational piece to a rebuild at power forward, right behind him in the depth chart. And he does this, and look, it's a huge black mark. And again, you can be a good person who made a mistake in that one moment. You know what I mean? But hey, you do this on the street to someone, you can get assault charges. You know what I mean? Like, that's serious stuff. So the action he did, like, we need to keep that train of thought. This is not just a boys will be boys sort of thing. Although, like, that's what it stemmed from. When you're looking at the big picture, you can't do this in any workplace in America whatsoever without big repercussions, which, I mean, he's going to suffer to an extent here, but it also clouds and brings into question your long-term future. And if this is a concerning incident, how do you think it affects him going forward? I mean, is this a shot of confidence gone for the Bulls in Bobby Portis, the basketball player and the person?
Well, it doesn't really help matters that he hasn't been very good this preseason. Yeah. Like, if this was like their franchise player who, like, you know, is going to be not necessarily a star, but like a guy who has proven enough to know that he's going to be in the rotation, that you want him to be a part of your long-term plans for a long time, then maybe you'd be more like willing to say, okay, you know, he made a mistake, you know, we can just move past this. Bobby's a guy who was kind of on the fringes of, is he part of the long-term plan, is he not? He's kind of in that group of young guys on this team as it is. And so this is certainly not going to help us, because I do feel a little bit bad for Bobby. I mean, he did what he did.
I don't.
He did what he did. He's going to get punished for it. He deserves to get punished for it. This is going to follow him for the rest of his career. And Bobby, he's really not a bad guy. Like, he's, you know, he's a guy that his teammates generally like. He's a hard worker, all this kind of stuff. This isn't, like, generally who he is. He doesn't have this kind of reputation. Now, you know, he's going to have this reputation for the rest of his career, and I don't know what that's going to mean for him long term, whether it's here or somewhere else. I'm sure if another team called them right now and said, hey, we are interested in trading for Bobby Portis if you're willing to sell him for not that much, they might be willing to do it just to keep the tensions from keeping around. Because that's another discussion we need to have. Can he and Nico coexist? I mean, Fred did say, yeah, it's my job to make sure that can happen.
He didn't say, yes, they can, though.
He said it's his job to make sure that can happen. You know, Robin Lopez said the same thing. It's the veterans' job, him and Quincy Pondexter and Justin Holley, to make sure that the team kind of stays unified. But, you know, if one teammate puts another guy in the hospital, it's one thing if, like, the guy who did the punching is Michael Jordan, and you're never going to get rid of Michael Jordan because it's Michael Jordan. But, like, when it's these two guys who kind of don't have great standing in terms of their play as it is, you know, the one who threw the punch kind of has to go, right?
Yeah. Well, when you put it like that, yeah, I think that's what would be fair. But the Bulls still have to do, like, you dole out the punishment, and then the punishment's done, you move forward. I don't think you can play the sympathy game by any matters. Like, if you think Bobby Portis is 3 years down the road looking at your power forward in your organization or a backup power forward or just a big man in the rotation, and you think Bobby Portis has promise and that he can be an effective, good basketball player for you, and Nico Mirotic will not be, I don't think you keep Nico and send Bobby packing because he punched him. You know what I mean? Like, you still got to do what's best interest of the basketball product moving forward if you believe in this person, this person's character. And look, like, they're not bailing on Bobby Portis by any stretch of the imagination. You know, like, in the immediate aftermath, everyone's already tweeting, like, there's clauses written into the NBA contracts.
They're not going to do that.
Violent issues, you can try to part ways and, like, void the contract or whatever. No, they're not doing that. Like, they're going to support Bobby, they're going to support Nico, but this is going to be friction hanging over. And what Bobby says, he's returning to the Bulls on Friday, so they told him to stay home on Wednesday and cool off. He won't travel with them to Toronto for their opener on Thursday. He's expected to be at practice on Friday, and he can practice with the team, even though he can't play in games. What he says to his teammates will matter greatly. What he says to Nico the first time they see each other in person, huge. It's absolutely vital. How he acts on the floor. Like, from now on, there's no outburst for Bobby Portis in scrimmages. It has to be about the work. It has to be about the work and the play. You know what I mean? If he can do that, it's fine. His Bulls career and trajectory can stay, get right back on track. But it has to come down to those things 24/7 now. You know what I mean? Like, there's no more margin for error on this one, I don't think. And that's a really difficult question. Can they coexist? Because if Nico holds a grudge forever on that, like, I don't think people are going to blame him. You know what I mean? Like, certainly not going to blame him.
I wouldn't be very I would be really trying to forgive somebody who broke my jaw and put me in the hospital for 6 weeks.
But as the Bulls, like, at the same time, like, you dole out the punishment, you acknowledge Bobby's wrong, but what if Bobby is more important to the future than Nico? How do you handle that? None of this is easy. I think you still have to do what's best in your basketball interest, but you also, Nico's here for a year. Hell, he has a no-trade clause, right, for the first year. Team option on the second year of that deal. And it was the chance this year. What the saddest part of it, I think, well, I don't know what the saddest part of it is, because it's sad that Bobby Portis punched someone and that, like that rage is in him. And that's terrible. But the sad part is that Nico doesn't get the chance, the best chance to prove what he is as a basketball player in what kind of might be viewed as his last chance to do so, certainly in Chicago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And just to reestablish his reputation as a basketball player in the NBA to something more meaningful than it is now, and I think he would acknowledge that. So like you said, I mean, everyone's a loser here. Every single person. And, like, the Bulls didn't even try to spin this at all as anything good. Like, sometimes
this is actually going to help our unity. Yeah, with the Instagram thing last year, they were like, this actually brought us closer together.
At least the Bulls were in reality here. Like, Fred said, we have to use this as a learning experience. He didn't say this has been a learning experience and like, we can move forward and this is good that we know what not to do. No, he said, we have to use it as a learning experience. We have to overcome it.
We have to make sure this doesn't happen again.
Yes. The Bulls were very much grounded in reality on this day, which is significant to say because they are sometimes too often not grounded in reality.
Right.
I feel like. And again, so I felt like they handled it well. Now, the last part I want to touch on, the culture issue here. Mm-hmm. Bulls from day one, team first culture, team first attitude.
Unity.
Unity had almost the entire team, darn near the whole team, already in Chicago at the Advocate Center for informal workouts by Labor Day. And look, like, these young guys were. And it should be noted, Bobby Portis was pretty much a ringleader of these workouts for the young players in Chicago over the summer. Every time you heard something, every time you saw a picture posted to social media, Bobby Portis was basically in that photo. He was at the Advocate Center a lot this summer, save, I think, for some time spent in his home state of Arkansas. But he was there as much as anyone. Basically, it's in part why the Bulls lauded him so much going to training camp, part of the reason they started him in the first exhibition game here in the preseason. So that needs noted. But are we buying into this culture or not? Because this is a huge dent in the culture. No matter if it was there, if we are buying into that team-first togetherness, this is a massive dent in that. You know what I mean? So what are your thoughts in that regard?
The Bulls are the Bulls, man. This is kind of. I mean, that's great. Okay, they get rid of Jimmy, they get rid of Wade, they get rid of Rondo, they get rid of all the, you know, the stars with the egos, and they're saying, okay, this is all unselfish young guys now who are just here to work hard. Like, why does this stuff keep happening with this team? Like, stuff happens behind the scenes in practice all the time. Why is it this team where it gets to this level and then why it gets out? Like, It just feels very Bullsy for this to be happening a day before opening night.
It should be noted that former Bull Jimmy Butler, now in Minnesota, they met with the media scrum reporters earlier today, and Jimmy offered a classic line in which he was asked about the Bobby Portis Nico Mirotic fight, and he said, quote, "All I know is that I'm not to blame for this one," end quote. Jimmy
That's
Butler.
So good.
Jimmy Butler. Off the top rope with the shade, pointing out that he was not the problem with the Bulls when he exited and that there are other issues regarding this team. So, a really bad day, really bad Tuesday all the way around for the Bulls. These coming days will be important to see what, and we talked to Robin Lopez, it's going to trickle out what the rest of the team thinks. Bobby Portis has to address the media at some point, if not Friday, maybe Saturday. I don't know. Like, he's suspended, but he's practicing, so he's not going to be around for the games.
Right.
We got to get clarity whether he'll be there for home games. He's not going
to
be on
the
road.
He's not allowed to be in the building. Okay, my understanding is when you're suspended, you're not allowed to be in the building.
Okay. So we won't talk Saturday, obviously, but on the days that they have practice, he'll have to talk at some point. He has to address this at some point. He needs to address it with his teammates first. Nico Mirotic, as well. So we'll see how this goes, but it's a dark day. Dark day, dark Tuesday, dark Wednesday for the Bulls in their franchise history. An ugly incident. Look, we don't want to make it up into like being something massive that it isn't. But
it's not great.
Is a meaningful setback. It's a significant blow physically and just to the culture and attitude. Like, you can't have this happening. Like, it happens once in a while. I think they handled it pretty well, but can't happen again. You know?
No.
And they know that. They know that better than anyone. They addressed it head on. So they'll move on. We'll move on. Season opener, Thursday in Toronto. We'll have a podcast at
after the game.
Some point after that. Yeah, we'll figure it out like we always do. As always, follow Sean on Twitter, at Hyken, myself, at Cody Westerlin. Follow Locked On Bulls on Twitter, on Facebook, by its name, Locked On Bulls. Email us at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com with any basketball questions. Advertising inquiries, when the Bulls are done punching each other, we will take your basketball questions, we promise, on an upcoming episode. Most of all, please subscribe to the podcast, though.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play. Anywhere else you can find podcasts, make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends to subscribe, and check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. Opening night for the Bulls is tomorrow. We'll be back with you guys with another episode after that. Thanks for listening.